Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
When you get in the shower, Raven, what's the first body part you wash?
Well, I put the body soap on the loofah, and then I hit the belly.
The belly area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that way I can move it all around, you know? It's almost like a little shelf now.
Would you say your belly is the same as your chest, or is it lower?
It's at the upper belly, lower chest. So it's right about here, really.
So according to this new study that says that where you wash your body first in the shower says a lot about you, because clearly that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's how we do science nowadays.
Yeah, it says that if you wash your chest, which I assume is also your belly, you're honest and loyal, but also stressed out a lot.
Well, that would make sense.
I wash my armpits. Am I the only one? And if I wash your armpits first, you're attentive, but might come across as naive and lacking confidence. Is that true?
I mean, you have plenty of confidence. Naive, well, you know, on certain subjects, sure.
I mean, it's not that I'm naive about them. I just don't care enough to learn more about those subjects.
I mean, right. Yeah. On the other hand, right. Maybe you're not naive about the fact that your pits need the most attention, too.
I don't know. I feel like that's like, isn't that like the stinkiest part? Like, that's where you go first.
Well, with the loofah, you know, I come to that last, right? Because I'm going to wash the rest of my body with it, right? So then I still got some soap on it. Then I come back to the pits.
I think it's funny that you use a loofah. I'm grossed out by them.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're nasty. I think they have germs. I feel like they get gross so quickly in the shower. I use like a bar of soap, like an old school bar of Dove soap is all I use.
Right on your body.
Yes.
Yes. No, I'm not with that. I'm also not the person, though, that uses the washcloth if I forget loofah. I mean, we're into loofahs so much, we travel with loofahs. If I go on vacation, there's a new loofah in the suitcase.
So weird.
It's part of the extravagance. It's part of the luxury of it. New loofah. And guess what happens when we come home?
What?
Nothing. I leave that loofah back there. I'm vacation rich, yo.
If you wash your face first, that means you love money and you might struggle to get along with other people. Okay. If you wash your hair, you're a hopeless romantic who's usually immersed in your own thoughts. Okay.
And it's me time.
If it's none of the above, I guess you're, you know, washing your legs.
Or.
If you're in a specific, if you don't go to any specific order, or you're, I guess you're privates, which I would think would also be like wouldn't that be a go-to too?
It's above the legs.
Yeah. You're an adventurous person who doesn't like to be bored. All right.
Self-love is really big on this one, I guess, huh?
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
Three trending news stories, but you only hear about one, and Raven picks which one it is. Ready?
What do you got?
Number one, giant spiders expected to drop from sky across East Coast this spring.
Oh, come on.
Number two, woman trapped in cruise ship water slide suspended over ocean.
That's not cool.
And a teacher accused of biting two students over a jar of pickles.
Oh, come on. We all know that you can't do that. I mean, seriously. Let's go with stuck on a cruise ship, because I see those things that they're building off the sides of these boats.
Yep.
And I'm curious, but I'm also terrified.
Speaking of terrified, I know you did not choose the giant spiders falling from the sky, so I cannot tell you too much about that. You'll have to Google it yourself. But I will tell you that researchers said that their fangs are harmless to human skin. So just that's fine.
Great.
When they fall on your face.
Yeah, but they will be dropping on you. So look forward to that.
All right. Anyway, on a Norwegian cruise ship, they have a giant double loop water slide.
Okay.
A lot of those cruise ships have them. And a woman took her shot at it. But she doesn't get enough momentum at the top of one of the loops. And she gets stuck. And then she slowly slides backwards.
Oh, come on.
And when she stops, she is suspended over the ocean in a clear tube. Here's what it sounded like. I mean, are these people like her friends?
Here's the thing, right? I'm killing my sister if that's her. You know what I mean? If you are the one that's Oh, get the camera and whatnot. Oh, I'm killing you when I get out of that tube.
I mean, if I see somebody get stuck in a water slide and then go backwards and they're suspended over the ocean,
aren't
my
you concerned?
First thing, I'm not like,
right?
So she gets stuck. And yep. There's a lot of fear in here because there's the claustrophobia because you're stuck in this tight tube.
Sure. Right?
And then there's also, if you're heights. Fear of heights,
right.
You're over the ocean and you're super high up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this woman climbed backwards in the water slide.
Mm-hmm.
There turns out there's a lot of emergency hatches in these water slides, which
okay.
I didn't know, but now you know.
Yeah, no, there is, so they can get you out.
Right, because I was thinking in my head when I first saw this video and I was reading, I go, oh my gosh, they had to take apart the tube. I don't know what I thought, you know?
That's it. We're going to an island, everybody. We've got to disembark.
Right. So this woman climbs back up. The crew members come. They get her out of the hatch. No. She doesn't give up. She wants to do it for a second time.
Come on.
There she goes.
She gets stuck in the exact same spot.
Come on.
And goes backwards again and once again has to be like taken out through the hatch. Lady, give up. What are you doing?
What if you're the person that was standing behind her in line, by the way?
Well, I mean, if you're the person behind her, don't you not go?
Yeah, at that point, you're like, that might be right.
They didn't ever close it. They never closed it.
That's
I wonder
terrible.
Like, what was wrong with, maybe it was her bathing suit and had high traction?
Yeah.
Who knows? But she's fine. But I was thinking, like, what is the worst place to get stuck?
Well, roller coaster's a big one, right? I mean, I remember being in Vegas when I lived there, and there would be people, the Stratosphere, the roller coasters that they have, and they have this other thing that just like hangs off the side of the building. It would break down all the time.
Mm.
All the time. I'd be like, why do people keep going? Stop traffic less than 2 miles from your house. Like, if you can see the exit ramp, but nobody
place.
Can go, and you're tempted. You're like, I'm just going to go on the emergency. And you know you're going to get pulled over. You know you're going to get a ticket if you do it. So
yep.
That's always terrible.
That's a terrible place to get stuck,
yep.
too. Right? Maybe, okay, would you rather get stuck in traffic, or would you rather get stuck in a water slide suspended over the ocean on a cruise ship?
100%. At that point, traffic sounds great.
Yep.
I'll take the traffic.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's that thing that drives you crazy? 1-800-330-9999. Raven, when I heard this being reported on the news, at first I laughed out loud, and then I was like, come on. If you think Canada named their famous poutine fries after Russian crazy person Putin, that's all I need to know about you. So poutine is a famous Canadian dish. It's French fries topped with cheese, curds, and gravy. It is delicious. Now, people online have started a petition, and they started raging in anger that Canada was supporting Putin by creating a dish in his name. What are you talking about? First of all, Putin is spelled P-U-T-I-N. Poutine is P-O-U-T-I-N-E. And now, are you ready for a history lesson?
Go.
It is widely accepted that poutine was invented in 1957 when a trucker added cheese curds to his fries in Warwick, Quebec, called it poutine, which is Quebec slang for a mess. And at that point, I believe Putin was maybe 6 years old at that point. So I don't think it was after him.
Necessity, the mother of all invention, right? Who knew? I mean, how many other things have truckers really invented while driving down the road and, you know, one piece of food falls into another, whatever? I mean, I know personally for myself, when I go to, like, you know, McDonald's or anything like that, I just take all the food out. If I'm driving, I just pour it right in the bag.
Mm.
And then I just grab in the bag, and no matter what comes out, especially if there's, like, nuggets or something in there, could be a nugget, could be a fry. It's like Christmas every minute of it.
Yeah.
Who knew? I could have been a creator.
I was thinking about it, though, because, like, cheese fries and gravy, I love it. So I went to college in New York, and we used to just call it there cheese fries and gravy.
Right. I mean, I think that's what they call it most other places.
That's not true. So
no?
My husband's from Jersey, and we used to, when we were in Jersey, we would have, they were disco fries. We call them disco fries.
Really?
Yeah. There's different regions have different names for cheese fries and gravy.
Mm.
But poutine is delicious, and it has nothing to do with Putin. So there you go. I've set you straight.
Feel good about it. You can put cheese on your fries and not feel guilty at all.
Mm-hmm.
At least, you know, with anything to do other than your caloric intake. If you drive the exact same speed in your car as the car next to you on the highway, that's all I need to know about you. For miles and miles and miles.
Parallel drivers.
Nobody can drive around you. Nobody can pass anybody. And there has to be some sort of sick satisfaction that's going on inside this person's head. Let's be honest. The moment you're driving next to somebody on the highway at speed, Anna, it's not a relaxing moment. You're always looking over your shoulder. Like, what are they doing, right? Are they in their lane properly? Are they going to swerve into me? Am I in my lane properly? Like, it gives you a lot of self-doubt, a lot of anxiety. What are you doing?
I don't even think they realize. How can you? I don't think you realize it.
No. No way, no how. If you've got a line of cars behind you, there's no way you don't realize where you are on the road.
I mean, why would you want to drive parallel with somebody unless you guys are best friends and you're holding car hands? It doesn't make any sense at all.
It makes no sense whatsoever, right?
Right. It's so weird.
And it's dangerous.
All right. What's that thing that drives you crazy? You could always call or text 1-800-330-9999. The U.S. Senate passed a postal reform bill that will soon be law, and their goal is to better the U.S. Postal Service. It's going to save them about $50 billion over the next 10 years. But when this news broke yesterday, Raven and I started talking about it, and we had a big debate that we want to settle. Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Do you work at a post office?
I do.
Quick question. When you buy forever stamps, how long are they good for?
I mean, you just couldn't wait to ask this question publicly.
They're good forever.
Are they good forever? I read
forever,
they can mail a 1 ounce letter, right? But like if I stick it on a package or whatever, it's only going to be worth whatever the value was when I paid for it, right?
Yeah. It's going to be worth the value of the postage for a first class stamp at that time.
Told you. I told
you. So let's say, for example, next February, if our postage goes up to 65 cents and you bought it now for 58 cents, it'll be worth 65 cents then.
Because it's called a forever stamp, Raven. A forever.
I feel like there's a catch.
Raven and I had a full conversation yesterday. He was like, one day I want these forever stamps to actually be good forever. And I was like, what? What do you mean? What do you mean? Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Can you just double confirm this for us?
Double confirm? Double confirm. That's a good usage of time.
Yes. When you buy a forever stamp, how long is it good for?
Forever. That's the purpose. Right.
Thank you.
Seems fake to me. Feeling really good about yourself now, right?
It was the most ridiculous conversation, and you were looking at me like I had two heads.
You know what? I'm just going to say this, is that the post office gets a bum rap anyways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always improvements you can do on anything, but they're always getting beat up for one thing or another. If you were going to improve the post office, what would you do?
Well, the number one thing that you know that's happening in my life right now is that my mom, she mails a lot of checks because she's a small business owner.
Sure.
And we have had a tremendous amount of checks stolen.
Mm-hmm.
And then the thieves, they take the checks and they forfeit them and then they recash them. And it happened.
Forge them.
They forge them. They forge them. And it happened again last night. They stole the taxes check. So the city was like going after them for these late fees. My mom was all upset because she's like, I paid this. And they cashed a forged check.
So what would you have the post office do about that?
Here's what I want to do. I want to do stakeouts of where she mails her stuff.
So you want a law enforcement division, basically.
No, but I want to do it.
Oh.
I want to be allowed to citizen arrest anyone I catch.
Again, here we
doing
go.
This.
Always the citizen arrest.
I feel like we don't use our citizen arrest powers.
Because it doesn't work.
We could use it for good and we could
get
stop
yourself
these
killed.
Things. This is happening all over the country. If I just could stake out, we could have a group of people that hide behind these postal things. We could catch them.
I think you just want to have snacks and sleep in cars. I have to be honest.
So exciting. The minute I see you reach your arm in there, I'm coming after you.
You know what I would like is just no more restrictions on what we can mail, right? So, I mean, if you mail one thing, you got to go with UPS. If you mail something else, it's USPS. If you got to mail something else, it's, you know what I mean? Like, there's
FedEx,
a different driver
yes.
for everything. I would just like to have one company that did absolutely everything. I don't care if it's livestock. I don't care if it, and no restrictions whatsoever. Like, seriously, I want to tell you, just, I call you, you come and you pick it up and it gets going to wherever it is that it needs to go.
I mean, isn't that against the American dream? And
I feel like if the post office handled absolutely all of that, if they were the one name in delivery service, then they'd be doing great.
FedEx would be out of business.
Right? There'd be no competition whatsoever.
Well, there's that. Or we could just citizen arrest the bad people.
No.
Okay. It's called breadcrumbing. It's like when you're talking to somebody new, you're dating, and it's a crush. So breadcrumbing means you keep leading them on. You have no intention of taking things further. You constantly make up excuses why you can't do anything, but you still respond to texts. You still talk, but you don't actually want a relationship with them.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Also, there's the Hansel and Gretel and I get you in the pot type thing.
Right.
I lure you in, but right. I guess that would make more sense as it applies to dating as it would be.
Yeah, so it's like this new dating term everybody's talking about, and we're discussing it, and I was thinking in my head, I'm like, who falls for this? Like, if I ask you out seven times, and seven times you tell me you're too busy, or you can't make it that night, or whatever, at some point you got to be like, you know what, forget it, I'm not interested. Until producer John told me that that's not the case.
it's funny because it goes back and forth, you know. So I was talking to this one person for a little while, and you know, we were, you know, great conversation. We even ran into each other at a bar, had a very nice night, kept that going, and then I asked her out. I said, hey, do you want to get dinner, drink, something like that? And first it was a yes. And then it was a not confirming the date. And then it was a, I'm just kind of out of this relationship. I don't want to. And so normally I'm saying, okay, that's it. That's all done now. But yet the conversation still continues.
So you still text her and you still message her?
DMs. It's all about the Instagram DMs. That's where
really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the difference. All right. I mean, she's messaging you too, right? She's reaching out. Does she ever reach out when you haven't reached out at all? She just, you know, responds there or whatever.
Yes. And that's the weird part.
Yes.
That's breadcrumbing.
It's not really that weird.
That's bread. You've
been out of this game forever. I mean, yes, it's bread. It's breadcrumbing. You've been out of the game forever. So have I. But I mean, I still recognize when somebody's keeping their options open one way or the other. She wasn't ready then, but she might be ready at some point when she sees you out again.
Right.
Or 2 a.m. Or 3 a.m.
Well, that's the trick.
Right?
Trick right there.
That really is it.
Now, I don't want to sound naive, but I would think if I were you, John, in this situation where she has clearly said, yeah, no, I'm good, even though she keeps reaching out to you and quote unquote this breadcrumbing, I would just stop responding. I would just be like, and if you see her out, like, hey, yeah, how's it going? And then brush her off. Because then maybe she would realize that you're not readily available. Because to me, this breadcrumbing seems like she's just keeping you in her back pocket just in case.
I mean, maybe he's allowing her to keep him or keep the thought of him in the back pocket. Mm-hmm. You don't understand. It's like girls and guys, so different. Mm-hmm. Like every person you're talking to or going out on a single date does not have to be a person that you're dressing up for a big relationship or some, you know, thing that leads to something else. Sometimes it's just physical attraction.
Right.
Sometimes it's like you like to have a conversation with somebody or whatever. I mean, you remember casual friends.
Yeah, but I also would think that if a gentleman said to me.
A gentleman. Yeah.
That's how you a gentleman caller.
Is John wearing a three-piece suit made of wool right now?
A gentleman caller.
Let me see your monocle.
Okay, if I said to a guy, hey, you want to grab a drink sometime?
Yeah.
And he said, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, cool, when? And then he was like, never. I would say, I wouldn't respond to the text anymore.
And Venus. It's a different position. As a guy, you're going to keep that conversation. Listen, at least she was honest.
Right.
She said, I'm out of a thing. You're out of a thing. I'm not ready for that thing right now at this point. But at some point.
Did say, could we reschedule for a later date,
though?
See,
that's what I'm saying. She's rain checking
him. In 7 years.
She's rain checking him.
No. That's not rain checking. That's bread crumbing. Let's check in 2 weeks and let's see where we are on this. I bet you I know.
I can't believe you want to find out whether or not he lands the plane. Seems inappropriate.
Yesterday around this time, we were talking about the fact that over the weekend, I had an elderly woman approach my husband and I, and she complained that our daughter was too loud at the restaurant and that she had to turn down her hearing aid. I turned down my hearing aid because your baby's so loud.
I mean, why not just turn it down and leave me alone? I mean, I'm already in my own personal hell, woman.
When did a stranger complain to you about your child? 1-800-330-9999. Anna and Raven?
A few years ago, I was taking my 5-year-old daughter to Disney, flying from New York to Orlando. And we had a lot of turbulence above the Carolinas. And the plane was going up and down crazy. And she starts to scream, we're all going to die. Yes, we're going to die. We're all going to die.
Oh, no.
And the whole airplane was like, shush this child. Shush this child. And she's like, it's okay. We are all going to die together.
Oh, my gosh. Just cover her mouth.
Well, is it better? At least it's a child. What if it was me? We're all going to die.
She was 5 years old, I thought that was funny, but the rest of the people in the airplane, even the flight attendant came and offered her something to
drink. You don't know if it's funny or prophecy at that point.
Thank you. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When does somebody complain about your child?
So I took my twin daughters, they're 15, to a football game, and another mother, she shook her head at me and she said, oh, it's a shame that they're not wearing jackets. Oh, you know, like, what am I going to do? They know it's cold. They just decided they weren't going to wear a jacket. And so I figured, well, they're 15. They'll figure it out. They didn't want to mess up their outfits, I guess. It was a battle that I didn't want to have, you know?
I don't understand this either. Don't get me wrong. When I was in college and I used to go to those bars and I used to wear tube tops, which I had no business wearing, I wouldn't wear a coat either because I didn't want to check it. I didn't want to do any of that.
Sure.
But my daughter is like 13 years old. She won't wear a jacket anywhere. I don't understand why.
Well, if you wear a jacket and you're cold, that means you ain't cool.
Oh.
You see what I'm saying there?
You have no idea.
You got to be stronger than that, all right? You got to be tougher than that. You got to be cooler than that. That the heat or lack thereof doesn't bother you at all. Back in the day where you were in college or whatever, you were going to the bar or the club, you were getting out of a car. You were walking into another building. It was going to be okay. When you go to a football game, that football game is like 3 hours.
But how many times am I going to say you're going to be cold before I
just
feel
like
go?
I have to bring it regardless. Because halfway through the first quarter, they're going to be like, Ma, give us the keys. We got to go get the coat. I just feel like that's going
to
happen.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. When did somebody complain to you about your kid?
Hey, so I brought my kids to go see the Batman, and they did not understand the movie at all, right? So they're, like, talking throughout the whole thing. This woman sitting in front of us, she turns around and she says to me, hey, maybe you shouldn't have brought your kid to see a movie that they're not going to understand.
Were they, like, asking questions, or are they just conversating?
I mean, they were asking questions at first, you know, but it's like a three-hour movie. So yeah. Then they, like, sort of got bored and started talking.
I can't stand the person that asks me questions at a movie anyways.
I
don't bring my wife to anything that's like Star Wars or space or whatever because she's not really into it. And she's just going to start asking questions and I'm going to be like, you know, and she's with me. So
kids do that a lot. Like they just ask questions. Like sometimes I'll be watching something and Hayden, she'll ask me a question. I'll be like, Hayden, I'm watching the same thing you're watching. I don't know.
And you have to back it up. It drives my wife crazy when I say that to her. I say that all the time. Are we seeing this together? Right. Is this real time? I didn't read about it. No.
So what do you do in this situation when somebody is judging your kid and complaining to you about them? Elizabeth Stitt, she's a parenting coach, and she's got some tips. It's coming up next. There's nothing more awkward than when you come into contact with a judgy parent, somebody that like judges your parenting style. Do they ever have the right to say something to you? Elizabeth Stitt is the author, parent educator, and coach at the Joyful Parenting Coaching. You can visit her online at elizabethstitt.com. Elizabeth, do you find that parents in general tend to be very judgy when it comes to other parents?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's great for parents to be supportive of other parents and to be empathetic. I can give you some examples of how I do that.
Yeah, let's do that. What do you got?
Let's say that child is about to have the meltdown in the grocery store. One of the techniques I use there, I call jump and die, jump or die. And the way that jump or die works, I provide a distraction. So I might begin to sing in line. I might drop some magazines. I might roll my cart forward a little bit and bump into them and then be really effusive with my apologizing. Not hard, just, you know, just a little bump.
Wait a minute.
Right.
I want to make sure I have this straight.
Yes.
So are you talking about distracting your child or are you talking about distracting somebody else's? So you might give them a bump with the cart? You might throw magazines at them? I want to understand.
Oh my gosh, this is everything I want. When I can't control my toddler, which half the time I can't,
you want a stranger to throw something at her?
Yeah, just fall on the floor. Fall on the floor, start rolling around.
Right. Do something to distract my daughter. Do something silly.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Not everybody is willing to make fools of themselves in the service of supporting parents, but I am.
Elizabeth, Raven, is part of the reason that we're so judgy, is it just because that in general, we just believe that our way is the right way and everybody else's way is dumb, right?
I think that it's a vicious circle. I think people feel judgy of other parents because they feel so judged themselves.
Like my toddler, Dakota, is she's a handful, but she's a handful with me. Her teachers tell me all the time what a good girl she is.
Right, for other people, she puts on the dating face. It's the same thing. We're on our best behavior.
Elizabeth, I want to get your take because we had callers call in earlier and they had situations where parents have judged them. And we want to know what you think and what you would have done in this situation, okay? Their child was talking a lot during a movie and somebody complained that maybe their children shouldn't be in a movie theater.
I don't think there's anything wrong with tapping the child on the shoulder and saying, hey, excuse me, I'm having a hard time hearing. Could you take that conversation outside, please?
That makes sense. All right, how about her daughter was running through the aisles at a grocery store and she got approached by another mother to control her kid?
Oh, that's easy. Elizabeth is going to act like a speed bump or something.
Just fall down on the floor and start
rolling. She's going to do some juggling or something.
Yeah.
If a kid were running around, I would kneel down and open my arms wide and the kid might run around me. But at least I'm going to slow him down. You are right, Raven. I'm going to be that speed bump.
Elizabeth Stitt, she's an author, parent, educator, and coach. You can find her online at elizabethstitt.com. If you love playing Wordle, get ready for Hurdle. So, you know, Wordle is like such a nationwide obsession right now that they created a version of it for music. So you get 1 second to guess the song. If you don't get it, then you get 2 seconds all the way to 6 seconds.
Ooh. Are we going to play games?
Oh, we definitely are.
All right.
It's basically Name That Tune or Shazam, but now we call it Hurdle.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure.
So what
As
I
in
did,
heard, like you heard.
You heard.
I get it. I see what they did there.
So what I did was I have selected a bunch of songs. We have producer John, producer Sean, and Raven here. And I'm going to play 1 second clips, 2 seconds, and then 3 seconds. Can you correctly identify the song? Producer Sean, you are first.
All right.
Now, a lot of pressure.
But here's the thing. I did the research. These are the three most common songs that people can recognize. So they shouldn't be hard. They should be super easy. This first one, the average person can guess in 2.29 seconds. All right, Sean, here's your 1 second clip. Yo!
Isn't that Spice Girls, If You Want to Be My Lover?
That's the incorrect name. But I'm going to give it to you anyway.
Right. If you want to be my lover, you got to get
with my friends. Make it like- it's
Good job.
Nice job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You had me at...
All right, next, John.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Oh, Mambo Number 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
A little bit of Monica in my life. A little bit of Erica.
Pretty good, man. Gosh, now I feel now I'm feeling the pressure here.
Yeah.
Come on, Raven.
The average person gets that one in 2.48 seconds. You did it in one. Nice job.
Very good.
Okay. Now, this is the third most popular song that people can guess. Now, people can usually get this in 2.62 seconds. Now, what you may not know about Raven, he almost made it on the Shazam show. He went through like 20 rounds of auditions. He is really good at this.
It was a long process. I'll just say that it was kind of ridiculous, and I got knocked out because of Madonna Frozen. Bent. It's Eye of the Tiger. Look at me go.
Because you. You're so good, Raven, I decided that I would select some other songs for you to play.
She just loves to tear me down. All right, here we go.
No, I didn't pick ones that I didn't think you weren't going to get. I picked ones that were a variety, okay?
All right.
Can you get this one?
Hmm. I mean, you got to give me 1 more second of that.
All Dude, right. You've got that song.
All right, here's 2 seconds of that.
It's Backstreet Boys, Backstreet's Back, right? Is that the name of the song, though? What is it actually called?
No, dude, that's Larger Than Life,
right? It is Larger Than Life.
Okay. An assist from John on that one.
Yeah.
But I knew who it was.
I believe on Shazam you would not have won.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. That's all right. I got another one for you. Ready?
Go. One more time?
Do you want 2 seconds of it? If you're rejecting the 1 second.
Let me hear the 1 second one more time.
That's not how the game works.
No?
Kevin. No.
Give me the 2 seconds then. I don't have that one.
All right, let's see if you can do 3 seconds. No, John's about to
John's about to jump out of his shorts.
Seriously.
If we don't let
Dolly
him do
Parton,
it.
Dude, that's Jolene, right?
I mean, not exactly my wheelhouse there, but okay. I mean, that was impressive. That was impressive, John.
All right, we're going to do one more.
Miss Jackson, Outkast.
You are correct.
Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Not bad, guys. I think we're all ready to play Hurdle.
I mean, that's kind of country, too, actually.
The number one most unusual fear that people have is nomophobia, the fear of being without their cell phone. So yesterday, we decided to play Nomophobia Roulette. We all came in, producer John, producer Sean, myself, Raven, and we spun the prize wheel. And we wanted to see whoever it landed on was going to have to be without their phone for 24 hours.
I mean, yesterday was my wife's birthday. That would have been really bad. Who would have videoed the happy birthday song?
I mean, you could have used her phone to video it. Yeah.
Okay.
Originally, it landed on producer John, but it was his birthday as well, and he made a big thing and almost cried, so we let him get out of it.
I mean, he had his son.
Yeah.
He had his son for the day, so Right. He had to be available to get his son.
Yeah, I mean, but all of us have those issues. We all survived at one point without cell phones. The only person that was cool with doing it was producer Sean, and then when it landed on him, it landed on him.
So right,
he was
I mean,
able to do it.
Thought he was going to get a nap, was going to be the best day of your life, but so, that's not actually what happened, right?
He gave me his phone. I threw it in my purse, forgot about it. 100%. Just like it was on silent anyway. So I until he came in earlier and was like, can I have my phone now? I like, didn't realize it. How many missed calls, messages, emails did you have?
10 missed calls, 42 text messages, and about 16 emails.
Now, keep in mind, producer Sean books all our guests on the show. So that's this is just as detrimental to us.
Yeah. You're going to be so happy.
To him. Yeah. I was like, gee, it looks light today. I guess I understand why. So, Sean, but something happened, right?
Yes. Go figures. The one day we decided to do this and take my cell phone away, when I was leaving here yesterday, my battery in my my car died. And guess what? I didn't have to call AAA. And do you know how weird it is in 2022 to ask, you know, people in the building and strangers around the area, can I use your cell phone?
I mean, not for nothing, too, with AAA. Like, I think they do your location through your phone.
Yes, they do.
Through
the
app. So
really?
If you're calling and you're like, no, I'm on a landline, does AAA go, no, no, you're not? Like, do they believe you? Do they not believe you?
Well, the funniest part is they ask you, like, they'll basically pinpoint your location from your cell phone.
Right.
And go, well, your cell phone on file says you're not in the town you say you are.
Right. So now like, you're the liar.
Well, yep. Now I got to explain to them X, Y, and Z. And then they're like, well, are you sure this is you? And like, I have my...
What?
It was something. What should have been like an hour, maybe hour and a half thing, turned into like a 3-hour extravaganza downstairs.
Oh my gosh.
But it's like a trip back to 1994. It's so nice. The time before we had cell phones.
So much fun. Work 12 hours and then, you know, stay in a parking lot for 3 hours trying to get your car fixed.
Yeah.
That was great.
I'm going on a limb here and say in 94 he was probably walking instead of driving. So it would have been a little bit different experience, but
so overall, how do you feel about being phone free for 24 hours? Because you were the one that was like, I love it.
I think
it's great. I want to ditch my phone. I hate my phone.
Yes, I love it. I'm not a social media person. I try to stay off it as much as I can. I put my phone on silent when I'm not here.
Side note, producer Sean also does our social media. That's awesome. Fantastic. All right.
It's usually on silent. The biggest thing, I guess, besides the car was the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to bust like an old digital clock out again and plug it in. And I panicked a few times forgetting that you had my phone.
Uh-huh.
A few times I'm like, patting myself down.
Right.
Oh my God, where's my phone? And I was like, oh my God, Anna has it. And then I got paranoid thinking she's going on it or she jailbroke it and she's like just maybe messaging all my friends
and
stuff.
What are you saying on your phone about me that you're worried that I would jailbreak it?
I'm not sure.
I know.
I'm just saying, if I had someone's phone, I'd do that.
Well, I definitely did not do that to your phone, but now you have it back safely. Sound
I appreciate
good?
That.
I
you
won't take it away again. I won't
charge it.
Sure, your car's going to start no problem today,
yep.
too.
How much have you spent on gas so far? 1-800-330-9999. On Tuesday, the price of a gallon of regular gasoline broke a 14-year record in the U.S. The national average soared past $4.14 per gallon. That was set back in 2008. And as of last time I checked, today, it's $4.31 per gallon.
Yeah, gas is expensive. You know how you can tell? Because when you're on the highway, everybody's doing 58 miles per hour now. Get out of my way.
It's so funny you said that. This morning, I was driving, and there was two tractor trailers in the middle lane. Now, normally, I would fly around them.
Right.
To make my exit, right? I waited patiently behind them because I didn't want to push my foot to the gas.
Told yourself that you saved so much, right?
I was like, really? I saved 14 cents right there, maybe.
I doubt it.
Raven, how much have you spent so far on gas?
Well, I told you the other day I filled up my regular car, my everyday driver. It was $55.13, and that is a little tiny Mazda. It is a 13-gallon tank. That is absolutely astounding to me. But I filled up the van the other day, and it was $90. $90 in one shot.
Yeah.
I remember a time when if you put your debit card in a gas pump, it wouldn't even give you $90 worth of gas. It would stop you in the middle and then you would have to like recharge again.
Right.
Because it'd be like, oh no, what kind of world is this? This is obviously madness. I'm going to save the planet here. Now, no, it's no big deal whatsoever.
Producer John, how much have you spent so far on gas, the most amount?
My Honda Accord, $70 to fill
Get
that thing
out
up.
Of $70.
Here. It's a four-door sedan.
Oh my God.
$70.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, and an Accord. I haven't driven an Accord in probably 20 years.
And I love that car.
Yeah. I mean, and they're fuel efficient. I mean, they're pretty good. That's terrible.
Producer Sean, how about you?
filling my Mazda the other day, half a tank was $36 and change. Just half the tank.
Wow.
Yeah, I read somewhere that you're not supposed to let it go all the way to empty. And I'm like, right, because you can't afford it. You have to remortgage your house if you let it get all the way to empty.
Yeah.
I have to be honest is that my husband usually will take my car and like fill it for me like during at some point during the week. He'll just go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we got into an argument the other day because he came home and I had like half a tank, a little bit less than half a tank. And he went to go fill it. Now, this is before this week. So this was probably maybe last Friday or Saturday. So
10
before.
Cents cheaper than it is today.
And he
10,
was like,
15 cents.
He was like, it was $70. I go, $70? I go, it was, like, I had almost half a tank in there. What are you talking about? And he's like, well, I got the good grade. And I go,
what?
Right. Why would you do that?
What, are you crazy?
Yeah, we got a
he must be a communist.
I mean,
what is he doing?
I don't know.
What?
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. The most you've spent to fill your tank so far?
Paid $157, but it's my boss's truck, not mine.
Oh, that's the best, though.
He paid it, you know?
Yes, yes. That's good, though. But is it one of those ones, like, I remember back in the day, Hummers had two gas tanks.
What?
Like, two gas fill-up spouts there. But it's all just one massive tank in a truck, right?
Yeah, maybe 35 or 40-gallon tanks, but still, you know?
Yeah. What kind of truck was it? Like, a garbage truck? A landscaping truck?
No, it's, like a heating and air conditioning truck.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a big van, you know?
I have a feeling my bills are going to start going up for heating and air conditioning.
Oh, yeah.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day, a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Jacob and Beth. Beth, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hi. We've got a weird situation going on. Long story short, we've been talking for a little while about wanting to take a trip to France. You know, it's something that we've been just dreaming of for a long time. We didn't really get to have a full-on honeymoon and all of that. So it's kind of like, this is a really important big trip for us. And we want to, you know, include our kids. They're young, but we think it would be fun. So we finally decided to book it. But then I find out the other day that my husband has gone and invited his mother. He did this without asking me. You know, I was under the understanding that it was just us, a bonding time for just our little family. And, you know, I don't have any issues with his mother, of course. It's just, you know, it'll change the whole dynamic of everything. She can't move around as easily as we can. And, you know, we want to do certain things that now I'm going to have to be worrying the whole time if I'm pleasing his mom and if she's happy and having a good time. And, you know, it was never in the plans. And I'm frustrated that he went and invited her without even asking me about it first.
Jacob, that's a big invitation to extend without having a conversation with your wife.
Well, I was talking to my mom, and she was, the more I talked about the trip, I could see in her eyes she really wanted to go. I mean, it's France. Who wouldn't want to go? And she's always wanted to go, and I've known that. She's getting older, and I thought, you know, this is like one last time maybe the family could build a memory around, especially for the kids with a grandma. Just to look on her face, I had to invite her. And I know I should have asked you, Beth, but I didn't get around to it. In the moment, I just invited her. I mean, it's not going to be as bad as you think. I think it's going to actually work out well. She can do stuff with the kids, and we can do our own thing, and we'll all be together.
Beth, I mean, what is the resolution that you're looking for? You want him to uninvite her, right? Tell her that, you know what, sorry, I hadn't really discussed that with the rest of the family, and this is just going to be an immediate family trip. Is that what you're looking for?
I don't want to cause any problems with the family. Yeah, in an ideal world, I would prefer that she wasn't joining us because I wanted it to just be us. I wanted us to make those memories together. And I know we still will, but it's just going to completely change the dynamic of the whole thing. But at the same time, like, you know, I don't want to upset anyone, and I feel like I will be the bad guy now.
So you
if
want
I'm
him
the
to,
one.
You want him to uninvite his mom, but you don't want it to be your fault. That's what
exactly.
Basically, yes, I understand. I don't know how you do
like,
that.
I don't want this to be turned around to make it be like I'm the problem and it's my fault. Oh, and I'm the bad one, you know?
Mm.
Well, it probably will be anyways, but right. I get what you're saying completely.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't ask to be put in that position, you know?
Well, let's see what the audience has to say, because they may agree with you, Beth, that it was overstepping the line, Jacob, by inviting your mom without telling her. and that you need to come up with some kind of way to get out of this situation that doesn't paint Beth in a bad light. But they may see your side too, that what's done is done. And if you can give your mom this opportunity and this time with her grandchildren in a country she's always wanted to visit, then Beth, suck it up. It'll be beautiful for all of you.
What about the time with your children? Your one-on-one. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Jacob and Beth are finally taking that trip they've always wanted to go to Paris. It's very exciting. They've always wanted to visit France, and they're going to take the kids with them. But, well, when Jacob brought it up to his mom, was telling him she was so excited that he invited her to come too.
Yeah. Beth isn't thrilled. She says, how do we get out of this now at this point? In my mind, I had a vision of us going as a family, how we would spend our time, how we would do it there. Do I love your mother? Sure, absolutely. But does this change the entire dynamic of the vacation? I think she's got a really good point at that point, Anna. I mean, in your mind, again, you have a vision. Taking a family vacation, great when everybody is having a great time doing something together. When people are not having a great time doing something together, or one person wants to do one thing and you want to do something else, that can be a real challenge.
I mean, let's just say what it is. Like, some your family, when you're just you and your kids, is a certain kind of dynamic. And the minute you add somebody else into that dynamic, mm-hmm. it changes a lot of things.
Right.
But at this point, can you even do anything about it? 1-800-330-9999. Jacob says he can't uninvite his mom. But what do you think? Whose side are you on?
Initially, I was on the wife's side because of, you know, the situation. But unfortunately, there's no easy or pleasant way out of this. So I would tell her to just suck it up and enjoy the ride, you know. If she doesn't want to be the bad person, there's just no way to get out of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a no-win situation. Everybody's been saying the same thing. But what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. The one thing that everybody does seem to agree on is that Jacob was wrong to do this. But the bigger question is it too late now? And that's what you got to figure out. They finally are taking that dream trip to France with their kids, Jacob, Beth, and their two kids. Jacob telling his mom he was so excited and watching her face as she got excited that he just invited her to come along.
I honestly can't even imagine. Like, I mean, if this was my wife and she did this with her parents, I'd be upset. And rightfully so, I think, in this case. But, you know, you said it, Anna, is that it puts Beth in a situation where she's evil, the evil wife, right? She's either the evil wife who said, no, mom can't come, or she has to get along and go along with this whole thing.
What do you think? Can you uninvite his mom now that he's extended the invitation? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, whose side are you on?
Well, it's a no-win situation. You can't uninvite her. So the wife is just going to have to make the best of the situation. And like the husband said, maybe the mother can watch the kids at night. I don't know how old they are, but maybe the mother can watch the kids for them while they do some special things alone that they would have never had an opportunity to do in France. Make the best of this situation. But that husband owes her an apology, and he owes her a vacation alone with the family.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, I'm on the husband's side. I mean, I get that he should have discussed it with her before he extended the invitation, but it's his mother and it's also her mother, you know? I mean, they should enjoy the time and look at it this way. She said they have young children. Maybe they could stick her in a room with the children and they could have the night alone.
You sound like a mother-in-law pining for a vacation. Good luck.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on his side. As a mom with two kids who only have one grandparent living, I would have killed to do anything with my parents, with my grandkids, and give them that special memory. So I'm definitely on his side for this.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jacob, our audience agreed with you today. Beth, what's done is done. And at the end of the day, this is going to be a great family trip for all of you. You'll all be able to spend time with the children and hopefully make memories together.
All right. I mean, I guess I hear you. I hear everyone. We will make the most of it. And hey, I will take you up on saying that she can watch the kids every once in a while so we can go out and kind of do our own thing. And that will be my silver lining to the whole thing.
You've just made an old woman happy.
So she's gonna love it. She's gonna love it. It's gonna be great.
I know, babe.
Well, she's already happy because she doesn't even know this is happening. She has her outfits planned.
I'm just thinking about every trip I've ever booked on double occupancy. Why don't you just ask your other mother? All the moms.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $2,700 thanks to Discover Card. Real credit card questions require real people, someone who understands your issues and works to resolve them with you. That's why Discover offers helpful U.S.-based representatives available 24/7. Discover, exceptionally common sense. Hey, Emmanuel, you ready to play?
Let's do this.
All right, let's ask Raven to leave the room, please.
All right, Raven, please leave the room.
Sure, good luck, man.
All right.
Thanks.
So Raven's walking out of here. When that big studio door closes, he won't be able to hear us. It's a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. 3 seconds to answer each one. That's what you get. I'll bring him back in, ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Let's try.
Number 1, skateboarder Tony Hawk broke his leg this week and it may never fully heal. What's his famous nickname that goes hand in hand with his skateboard company, Birdhouse?
Ooh. The Eagle?
Number 2, Dolly Parton's new book, Run, Rose, Run, debuted in the number 1 spot on Amazon. She teamed up with what famous writer for this novel?
Oh, my God.
Time's up.
Know.
It's okay. Number 3, Bridgerton Season 2's new trailer dropped, and it's all about love. There was a lot of backlash after it was announced, though, that Reggae John Page would not be returning for Season 2. What was his character's name?
Reggae John.
Yeah, what was the name of his character on the show?
I don't know. I didn't see it.
That's okay. Number 4, Brooke Shields talked about her love of animals and said that when she was a teen, she interned at the San Diego Zoo. She famously asked, "You know what comes between me and my Calvins?" What's the answer that she then gives?
Her breeches.
And number 5, Hayden Panettiere joins Mila Kunis as celebrities raising funds for Ukraine. She starred in the show Heroes and what other musical drama series on ABC CMT?
High School Musical.
All right, Emmanuel, let me bring Raven back in.
Yo. I'll try.
That's okay.
How do you do?
Oh.
Emmanuel didn't get any right.
Wow.
Okay. Might be a new low record.
$2,700 bucks. Let's see how I do. Here's the thing,
Emmanuel. Man. You had a good time. You're going to get a T-shirt, but let's see. Number 1, skateboarder Tony Hawk broke his leg this week, and he may never heal, which stinks. What's his famous nickname that goes hand-in-hand with his skateboard company, Birdhouse?
He's the Birdman.
Yes. Number 2, Dolly Parton's new book, Run, Rose, Run, debuted in the number 1 spot on Amazon. She teamed up with what famous writer for her first novel?
James Patterson.
Yes. Number 3, Bridgerton Season 2's new trailer dropped, and it's all about love. There was a lot of backlash after it was announced that Reggae John Page would not be returning for Season 2. What's his character's name on the show?
You know, I never watched the show. I'm just going to say Duke.
No, it's Simon Bassett.
Are you sure he's not a Duke?
Well, he is a Duke, but I need his name. That doesn't count.
See?
Number 4, Brooke Shields talked about her love of animals and said that when she was a teenager, she interned at the San Diego Zoo.
Nice zoo.
She famously asked, "You know what comes between me and my Calvins?" What's the answer she then gives?
Nothing.
That's right. Number 5, Hayden Panettiere joins Mila Kunis as celebrities raising funds for Ukraine. She starred in the show Heroes and what musical drama series on ABC CMT?
Oh, AMC, CMT, Nashville.
Nashville's right.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Emmanuel. He beat you 4-0.
This is Emmanuel, and I can't beat Raven.
Well, thanks for playing. Hold on.
Better luck next time, man. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $2,800 tomorrow.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready.
Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.